You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs, and today I sing happy birthday to myself. Today is a milestone and a half birthday, and it means insurance transition takes place in my life, in case you're wanting some visual reference as to how old I am. I started off life with blonde hair, then it went to dishwater blonde, then it went to executive blonde, and it's just getting more and more executive as the days go by. So, hey, tonight at 7 p.m. is Bible study night at Merritt Assembly of God. My wife and I will not be there. Her birthday was last week. Mine is this week. We've got another birthday coming up on Saturday, but we are away celebrating, but Bible study will go on. You know, we've been doing this Bible study on Exiting Egypt by Julie West. Phenomenal, phenomenal book. Our congregation is, just getting so much out of that book. And, one of the things that she mentioned in that book is that God made it clear to Moses that his covenant did not begin with Moses, nor was it going to end with Moses. And that is something that I know all too well, is that the kingdom of God was going before I was around. It will be going after I am gone from the scene, should the Lord tarry. And so my job is to set people up to succeed in their walk with God, thrive in their walk with God, all the way through the days of their life, all the time until the trumpet sounds or the Lord says, hey, I've got one more thing I would like you to do, and that is I want you to come and spend eternity with me forever in heaven. And so whenever that is, we will say yes to every assignment that the Lord has for us. Hopefully you can join the church tonight in Bible study, 7 p.m. At 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. We're going to return to Matthew, the 24th chapter. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9. We are going through this passage and talking about some of the things that will take place in the end times and what the objective of the enemy is and what the solution to those objectives is. So let me read Matthew 24:9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Listen to verse number 12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So some of the things that the enemy will do to people is he's going to cause trouble. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The devil wants to create undue pressure on people and reduce them to a lifestyle of oppression where Jesus wants us to live in freedom. Another tactic of the enemy is that there will be people who will hate believers. That is, they're going to want to separate themselves from the hated. They don't want to have anything to do with people. The world preaches tolerance, but their definition of tolerance is this: we will be tolerant of you as long as you are just like us. You've got to have the same mindset, the same philosophy, the same economic strategy. You are going to just do exactly what we tell you to do. That is their version of tolerance. And because believers are called to live according to the commandments of God, the world with their different belief system, their different moral structure, their own a self-established version of righteousness, calling good evil and calling evil good, they're going to hate believers. That's going to lead to some martyrdom. There will be people who will be intentionally killed because they believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another strategy, we talked about this yesterday, is that people live offended. And, you know, one of what I mentioned yesterday is we tend to live in a society right now that is trying to govern by the tyranny of the offended. Being offended is not a sign of strength. It's actually a sign of fragility. And when we live offended, we actually take the bait of the enemy. John Bevere wrote a tremendous book called The Bait of Satan. And if you've never read that book, you should get it and read it. It's a fantastic study. So the strategy, the tactic of the enemy to get us to be offended is to cause us to fall away from the right path or to abandon our faith. Now, here's the great thing. God has given to every person the measure of faith. Whether we choose to embrace it or abandon it is entirely up to us. Betrayal is another tactic, another tool of the enemy, and that is when people will value relationships less and they will follow the mandates and the dictates of society, that they will turn believers over to authorities for them to be troubled and hated and killed. And then there's also false prophets. So you need to understand that the enemy is not just going to use one tactic. He uses many. And he will use the guise of religion, G-U-I-S-E, the disguise, and he will propagate deception to try and discourage or confuse or to lead astray the people from what is morally right. Now, that brings us to verse number 12. That's the recap from yesterday. Verse number 12 says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." I had heard the word lawlessness in my life. I primarily heard of it when I read the scriptures. When you would read the letters to the Thessalonians, the man of lawlessness. I've seen descriptions of lawlessness in the Bible where it says, and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. That was not a compliment to society. That was an indictment of the society. They were rejecting the ways of God and put their own self-perception above what God said was right. So I'm familiar with the term lawlessness. I've heard it in church. And reading the Bible my entire adult life. But over the last 5 to 10 years, there has been a recognition outside of the house of God to where the only word that they could use to describe some of the things that were going on is lawlessness. And, you know, as people who are constantly trying to cast off restraint, which leads to death, by the way, that appeals to a certain aspect of man's carnality. But it does not lead to freedom. It leads to bondage. They don't tell you that part. Many of the people who think that they're advocating for one thing would be some of the first victims as soon as an authoritarian structure would be established. Now, this is what it says about the condition of lawlessness in the end times. This is what Jesus said. It's not going to be rare. It's not going to be scarce. It's going to abound. Okay, think about that. There is a philosophy in lawlessness that says, well, they can't arrest us all. They can't catch us all. That somebody is surely going to escape. And I will tell you, with technological advancements and things like that, I think that is a deception of the enemy. And it really reduces people to pawns. It tells them that they are setting themselves up to be the master of their own life, when in reality, they are reducing people's lives to simply being used as a pawn to try and achieve an ungodly result. Look at the way that people treat others, and it will either be a reflection of the way that God would treat them, or it will be reflective of the way that the enemy treats people. And I want to make sure that I treat people in accordance with the mandates of God. So there's a story that I heard decades ago about a man who was interviewing for a chauffeur for his family, his wife, his two young kids. And he said, I live in a very secluded space. The only way up or down is around a mountain. It's a pretty treacherous road. And his question to the candidates was this: how close to the edge of the cliff could you get and still keep my family safe? And the first person came in and interviewed, and he said, I could get within a foot of the edge of the road and still keep your family safe. The question was asked to the next candidate, and he said, I could get the edge of the tire to the edge of the road and still keep your family safe. The third person, feeling extremely confident, said, I could get half of the tire hanging over the edge and I could still keep your family safe. The fourth candidate came in and said, sir, I would consider it such an honor to be the chauffeur of your family and realize that that is the real treasure of your life, that I would not venture anywhere near the edge of the road. I would keep as close to the mountain as I could possibly keep so that your family would be safe. Which one of those philosophies operates in the safest manner? It's not the person who's willing to risk other people's lives. It's the person that says, look, Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. There is no counterfeit option of life. There is either life or there is death. There is choose life as the best option. But it's going to take a holy boldness. It's going to take a great deal of courage to live as a believer in Jesus Christ and live under the mandates of his word and live the life that is pleasing and acceptable to him in the face of a multitude of people who are living lawless lives. And that means that it is going to be everywhere. It's not going to be hard to find it. It's going to be something that is going to be clearly seen. You can see lawlessness in a country. You can see lawlessness in a city. You can see lawlessness in a school. You can see lawlessness in a home. You could even see lawlessness in some churches. Make sure that the church that you attend is preaching the word of God. Don't have anything to do with lawlessness. Lawlessness is used as a description of the Antichrist, not a description of Christ. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. So what happens? What's the result? It says that because the lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. This is the agape love, the unconditional love that God has for us, that we're supposed to have for him, we're supposed to have for other believers. And it says that it will grow cold. Jesus said, I have this against you. You have left your first love. I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm, he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. We cannot afford for love to be ignored. It needs to be intense. It needs to be intentional. And one of the things that I discovered many years ago about the name David is it means passion. But if you go back, if you take the word that comes from and you go back to its root, it doesn't just talk about an emotion. It doesn't even just talk about an action. It talks about the motivation behind it as a boiling passion. And every time I think about that, I think of a pot of water on a stove, and you can have cold water, or you can turn up the heat and it can get to a stage. But if you want things to really happen when you are preparing your dishes, you've got to make sure that you get that water to a boiling temperature. And our love for Jesus should not be half-hearted. It should not be just a lazy version of love. It needs to be intense, and it needs to be red hot. And I pray that you would run faster and harder after God than you did when you ran away from him. So the desire of the enemy with lawlessness abounding is to cause love, which comes from God. It's reflective of his nature. He wants that to grow cold. So the best thing that I can tell you about your spousal relationships is never take them for granted. The best thing I can tell you about your relationships between parents and children is don't take them for granted. The best thing that I can tell you about your relationship with God is don't take it for granted. Make sure that it is red hot, that it is intense. Lawlessness is an attack on a life of love. So that's the strategies of the enemy. What is the response of believers? Verse number 13, but he who endures to the end will be saved, or shall be saved. And so you've got to keep right on. I can't tell you how many times I have watched a sporting event and watched people snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory because they didn't keep the same intensity all the way to the end of the game. And back when March Madness was going on, I was watching the Oklahoma Sooners in one basketball tournament. I was watching the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes on another tournament, and both of them had leads very late into the contest, and their opponents managed to come back up and tie the game with very little time left on the clock. And I hate it when my team snatches defeat out of the jaws of victory. You may have seen races where somebody thought they could coast to the finish line, and an opponent comes and overtakes them right at the last second. You and I, we've got to continue to endure. We cannot afford to grow weary, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Do not embrace quitting. If you're like me, I have seen too much, I have come too far to be willing to throw in the towel and give up on Jesus, because he's never given up on me. He never will give up on us. And he equips us with the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and a community of believers to be able to press through any hardship and any difficulty. So when the world is hating and killing and causing problems for believers and betraying and being offended by believers and trying to dilute the gospel of Jesus Christ with false prophets and dilute or confuse the message of truth with a message of deception, believers continue to press on to the end, because salvation, being made whole in the presence of Jesus, being saved from harm, that is our destiny. And our responsibility is this: and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The attitude of a people towards the Word of God reveals the condition of their heart, the motivation behind them. Either they're trying to get the message to the ends of the earth, or they're trying to prevent the message from getting to the ends of the earth. Dan Betzer, one of our Assemblies of God ministers, when he was pastoring, said there are three options when it comes to taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. The first one is we can be the ones that go, and we call those missionaries. They are the most reflective of the meaning of the word apostle. It means to be one who is sent. We have the privilege, if we're not the people who are to go, we can be the people who send or make it happen. So there are the people who go, there are the people who send. And the third option is to be a person who disobeys. We don't want to be that person. We want to be the one facilitating the gospel going into all the world. So we support missionaries who are in development of Bibles in native tongues to make it easier for people to understand. We support missionaries who are developing technologies to take the gospel in a native language to people who cannot read. If a person had a Bible but they don't know how to read it, they don't understand what they're reading, it is not going to be very helpful. We send missionaries. We send technology. We do everything we can to empower the gospel going throughout Brevard County and around the world. The gospel of the kingdom needs to be preached in Brevard County. You may think that everybody here knows who Jesus is. I'm here to tell you, not everyone does. Not everyone in Brevard County has ever heard. In fact, I will tell you that God, in the interest of fulfilling the Great Commission, brings people from around the world to Brevard County every single day. Some of those people come from countries where they are not allowed to hear the gospel, but when they come to America, they could hear the gospel from your lips and from my lips. There are people in the United States who've never heard. There are people around the globe who have never heard. Our job is to make sure that the message of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, is preached in all the world as a witness to the nations. Now, I absolutely believe that it says when that happens, the end is near. Here's another thing that I know to be true. There are some people who have had the gospel preached to them, and somewhere along the line, there was a person who made a very bad decision, and they cut their community off. They cut their family off from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't want to be that person, because Jesus said, hey, that's not a path to a successful life. You'd rather have a millstone hung around your neck and than to be responsible for people not hearing. I want to be the person who makes it easy for my family to know about Jesus. And I want them to know it not only from the words that come out of my mouth, but from the life that I live, aligning with that very same message. So the truth of the matter is, in the end times, there's going to be lawlessness, and it is going to be attack on a lifestyle that God commands us to live. We are to love God. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, and that means that we need to be active in introducing people to the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm gonna close out today's program with a word of prayer, and that is this. God, I pray that you would endue every believer here in Brevard County with a holy boldness. God, that you would equip us with an understanding of your word, that you would move in our hearts so that we have a true godly compassion for those in our community. And Lord, that we want to do something. We want to introduce them to the most important person in our life, and that's Jesus. God, I pray that we would be thoroughly excited and motivated, even in the midst of adversity, to represent you and your heart of love very well. God, may we be senders, may we be goers, may we never be those who disobey in sending the gospel to those who have never heard. Thank you very much for listening today. I hope you have a great day. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to those that are having birthdays coming up. And we'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.